dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 468. We've decided to start without Colin because he is running late this evening. He's actually doing a walkthrough for his new house, which he's moving into this weekend. So we expected him here by now, and he's not here yet. This is Pat, and joining me this evening is
Brandon,
Spencer,
Dave.
It's really weird when he doesn't start it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just kind of get the groove.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you're supposed to say things. Yeah. I mean, as much hell as we give them, and we should.
Yeah.
It's harder than it sounds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So.
I think he's just been using these as excuses to just not do the, you know, most of the episode. I think, and next thing you know, he's like, you know what, I'm not even going to be able to come in, so just finish it and just be done by the time Tim leaves or, you know, whatever, and just.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, next thing you know, it's been like a month since he's been on an episode. It's like.
No, I don't think he can get away with that, because people will start asking, "Hey, where's Colin? Where's Colin?" And he's
I know. Yeah, they need those rants.
Yeah, exactly. Although
our listener needs that rant.
Yeah, he's been slacking on that anyway lately.
Yeah,
like, been too happy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want him, you know. Looking for an appropriate support beam that'll hold his weight, but at the same time, there's a happy medium between that and happy Colin.
Yeah,
like we need things to get on his nerves occasionally. Yeah, and then with bad ideas shutting down, I mean, what's he gonna rant about after them? I don't know. So. The Suicide Squad trailer came out again yesterday. Anybody watch that?
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't even know it was out.
Yeah, it was
the third trailer.
Yeah,
which I only remember seeing one other one.
There's the Red Band one, a regular one, and then this one.
Okay. I saw the Red Band one and then this one.
Yeah, I didn't see the most recent one yet, I guess.
So apparently there was a big debacle because it started out as it was a YouTube ad. The whole trailer was a YouTube ad, only on certain videos. So people caught on to that and started sharing it. Well, then Warner Brothers started hitting people with cease and desist orders, telling him to stop doing it, which is like, okay, isn't the whole point of this to get that out?
Yeah.
Like, maybe I'm missing something. They're not pirating the whole movie. They're saying, hey, go look at the Suicide Squad trailer, which is what I thought you guys wanted. We did get to see more of Starro and a little bit more backstory. There are a lot more members of the Suicide Squad in it than what we've seen.
I'm surprised to give the Starro thing away, because if that's not the finale, I can't wait to see what the crazy finale is.
Well, I don't think most people know who Starro is.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so.
So it's just funny, because like never in my life would I think I'm going to see Starro on the big screen, because he's such a ridiculous character.
Right, exactly.
But
if
looks,
you did in a movie like Suicide Squad, like.
Yeah.
You see, like, maybe,
especially
like.
Especially in a Suicide Squad.
You see, like, maybe if they did, like, had a good Justice League movie where they had a scene where they were going through, like, the treasure room and you see, like, Starro, like, pinned up on a wall or something somewhere. Like, you know, like.
Batman has his crustacean collection and there's Starro. He's next to the dinosaur.
But I feel like you could do Starro on a really low budget. So I'm like, I'm surprised Starro hasn't been done before, because it's really easy to just put a starfish on people's faces.
Yeah, true.
It is, but at the same time, they went dark and gritty, and Starro doesn't work with dark and gritty, but it's James Gunn, so he can get away with it. You know, and when you have John Cena declaring he would eat a whole beach full of dicks for liberty, you know that there is.
Yeah.
There's some room there for some James Gunn style comedy.
And this wasn't a Red Band trailer, but they gave Cena a good joke about starfish.
Yes. Yes, they did. I kind of feel like he's going to be the Drax of this movie. Mm-hmm. But King Shark. Like, I think he's going to be everything that Killer Croc should have been in the first movie, except they took it too dark. Mm. You know, he'll be the fun character.
Yeah, Killer Croc was just forgettable.
Yeah, which is a shame, because I love the character.
Yeah.
But...
Killer Croc should be 10 feet tall, though. He shouldn't be...
Like, person height.
Was that guy, like, 6'4"?
Well, that's the thing. They went more realistic with it. Yeah. As realistic as you're going to get in a Suicide Squad movie. And the other problem with that movie, the Enchantress is not a Suicide Squad level threat.
Yeah.
Like, not when she's that powerful. That just doesn't work.
Yeah, she's kind of out of their league at that point.
Yeah. You know, that's where you start calling in, you know, Dr. Fate or the Justice League.
Yeah, especially when you have Batman in the beginning of the movie, you know, it's like, so we know that there's a Batman.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, and then obviously, because it's in the same universe, we know there's a Superman, although Superman was dead at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, Wonder Woman was in that universe, like, come on. You know, instead we send Will Smith.
He can shoot her.
Yeah. What other news?
People started putting out stuff for that new Dark Age, like mini series, comic series.
Yeah,
that,
the one that was there was a free comic book day for 3 years ago.
Well, you know, it was
a slow build.
Well, it was in the before times, is when it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, but it was delayed even for that. Right?
I think so.
Well, yeah, if it was 3 years ago, you would think that within...
Am I exaggerating? Or was it three years ago?
I don't remember.
So there was a free comic book day book where Tony Stark loses a leg. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's what, like, I was like, when I saw it, I was like, you know, I was kind of surprised that, you know... Because I was starting to think that maybe they just scrapped the book, like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I think they did, and then they just remembered, oh, we still have this, and we paid for it. Like, let's put it out.
And it's still going to come out late.
Yeah.
You guys have delayed this for 3 years, and it's still not going to come out on time. What the hell?
So.
The hell? But I think it's basically just, like, you know...
have to age into a
power, like,
nice.
Like, for, you know, one of the, like, you know... these power, like, in the Marvel Universe, like, all the power goes out. So, like, you know, how do, you know... Because I think it, like, turning, like, in that free comic book issue, like, he loses power, a plane loses power. That's how he, like, loses a leg and like, in the wreckage and stuff like that. So...
So there's, like, no power, they go back to the Stone Age?
Kind of, yeah, that's Dark Ages, yeah.
Okay.
That preview was cool. I like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's Tom Taylor and, I think Ryan Stegman's doing the art on it, so...
It sounds like there was a show called Revolution.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
And that might have been why they scrapped it, because that show was on about 3 years ago,
oh,
too.
Oh, I remember that show, yeah.
I think this, too, like, this got announced shortly after, I think it was either, like, the first or second of his deceased series. So I think, like, Marvel is, like, he's doing, like, these cool, like... miniseries in DC, and
did he go exclusive to DC?
I don't think he's exclusive with anybody.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. So Tom Taylor, but yeah.
So hopefully that'll finally be coming out soon. Yeah. And then they announced that Nick Spencer is going to be leaving Amazing Spider-Man in September, I think.
Yeah, he's going to Substack.
Yeah.
So. I'm not optimistic about Substack being the next big thing in comics, but...
No, but I mean, like, if they're willing to give him a whole bunch of money, I mean, take it until they close down.
No. Oh, no, you can't begrudge a guy for cash and paychecks.
Yeah. So I'm be interested to see who the next Spider-Man writer is.
Who do you want, Spencer?
I don't know. Like,
isn't it Ed Brisson?
Is it?
Or was that just a rumor?
I mean, that'd be. I think he'd be okay with that. I'm used to him doing like a lot of the X-Men stuff, so I'd be interested to see what a Spider-Man take would be. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it would be just like a Marvel guy though, because like I don't know who, like in the Marvel like bullpen, you know, that they really have at the moment.
And the other thing they might do, they might just be like, "Hey, want to take this for 12, 18 issues, and until we find." Like the real replacement.
Well, yeah,
it's possible.
They do that a lot.
Yeah. You're the interim writer.
Yeah,
but it may also be, you know, how they'll lure a writer over to DC by saying, "We'll let you write Batman, we'll let you write Detective."
Yeah,
I could see them being able to lure somebody saying,
"Yeah,
it's Spider-Man."
Yeah.
Isn't Stegman working with Cates now on some secret project, or am I thinking of somebody else?
They keep on talking about the next thing that they're working on, but
yeah.
With him doing that the Dark Age two of them, maybe that's mostly done by now. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it's done.
Maybe they'll let Donny Cates write it.
Yeah.
He's been writing Venom.
Yeah, and so, he's been talking about he's been wanting to do a Spider-Man series for a long time. Like, you know, Spider-Man's one of his favorite characters, so that'd be interesting.
I mean, he tends to write darker books. But Spider-Man setting up for the death of Spider-Man, or the death of Peter Parker. So that may be right up his alley anyway.
Spider-Man's has had his emo moments, so, you know.
Yeah, but I don't want to see it go emo.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe, you know, darker is not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they want to tell the more kid-oriented stories... They have Miles Morales in the 616 now, so they can do it that way. I don't know.
Yeah, but those are the only two like news things that I really saw.
Come on, Dave, you're the news man. What'd you hear?
I forgot to do this last week. I want to give a shout out to Ned Beatty.
Yeah, Otis.
Otisburg. And he's also the voice of Lotso. Toy Story 3.
Okay.
So, he was a great actor. And
He's been in everything.
And in everything else, yeah. But those are the main genre stuff.
He was like, because he's one of those character actors, although he's probably more of a name than most character actors, but it was like, I know that guy. He's in everything.
Yeah, but still, he's a character actor. Oh, yeah. He was great in everything. I want to make sure I brought that up.
Yeah, I forgot about that until a couple days after we recorded. I was like, oh, we forgot to talk about that.
Yeah.
So, Spencer, what'd you read?
Okay.
There were some questions.
Oh, we did?
Have questions?
Yeah,
I'll see.
I saw something from Zach, I think.
Where were you on that, Colin? That's right, he's not here.
Let's see.
Really dropping the ball, man.
So, Warren Ellis, yikes. Alternatively, you could talk about my quest for an out-of-print manga that is super expensive in the second-hand market. So, Warren Ellis, he's going to finish Fell.
Yeah.
So, he's going to actually do something since he's been...
Yeah, I was going to say, but they continue to put out the Batman's Grave... After a lot of those allegations came out.
Yeah, but I think it was done, and when the allegations came out, I think they were like a third of the way through, so I think they just finished it.
Yeah, but I would have thought they would have said, let's put this on a back burner, let the heat die down, and then we'll release it. Because once it's in the can, it's in the can.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like having to resolicit something makes it a bigger deal. So, like, then just putting it out quietly.
And just, like, letting it kind of
just
die.
Like, okay, don't promote this. Just put it out. Let it run its course. And
I don't think the numbers for that book was that good either, I think.
The book was good.
Yeah.
I read the first issue. I read the first issue, then was just like, I'll just wait for the...
Yeah. I think the fact that it was Warren Ellis just, like, killed the buzz. Because that probably would have been a bigger book if it... At least a bigger trade.
But I didn't. I haven't read Fell. So, but I saw they were gonna finish that. It's like 15 years old.
He's
too.
Putting in. What's it out?
Like, I think it's Image, right? It was Image before.
No, I'm not familiar with the title.
Because it was him and Temple Smith, right? The 28 Days Later guy, right?
Yeah, Ben Temple Smith.
Yeah. Ben Temple Smith art kind of scares me away from.
Yeah.
That stuff. Like, it worked for 30 Days Later, but I don't. They put out a bunch of those. I mean, like, one was enough. It's a good idea, but
it's a good idea. Stop trying to go to the well.
Yeah. And I have no idea about the secondary manga market.
Yeah.
So
I don't think Colin knows anything about the secondary manga market, so it's not gonna matter.
I heard on one podcast that I think it's just like there's like a shortage just because like I think there's like a paper shortage and like a printing shortage. So I think like people are having trouble restocking, so like it's like for now the stuff's out there. That's all that's out there. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you want it from somebody, you're probably gonna have to pay like a couple extra dollars than what it normally would be, because if you want it, that's what you're gonna have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And then he has a second question here about registering as an Eisner voter. That one's for Colin, but. Can't see Colin caring enough to register for the Eisners. The Eisners aren't really relevant at this point.
Well, and he got hosed a few years ago when he was up for Store of the Year or Retailer of the Year, mm-hmm. whatever they call it. Because I saw the videos that they put out of the other stores, and he got hosed. Mm-hmm. I don't just say that because I come here, because I like the guy. I mean, like, I think the store that won was basically, like, a hipster comic book store. Mm. And it wasn't like here where it's a very inclusive environment. He has everything you could ever want, and if not, he'd get it for you. Like, it doesn't seem like that.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about the Eisners. They're not a mainstream comics award anymore. You know, it's very politicized, and you know, it's woke. So, no, most of the stuff that, like, if something wins an Eisner, like, I'll probably check it out just to, because I don't think it's, you know, completely bankrupt. But, like, you know, if you polled actual comic book buyers, like, what's the best stuff? It's not going to mirror what the Eisner. Putting out.
Well,
which is the same
for
all awards.
You need to pull comic book readers, not comic book buyers. Those are two different things.
Yeah.
But no, you're right. I mean, it's like the Oscars. Most of those movies I couldn't watch because they bore the hell out of me. Mm-hmm. But the movies that I like very rarely get nominated for anything.
Yeah. So it's only like the occasional, like, Fury Road won everything, and like, that probably was the best movie in, what was it, 2015, right? Like, but you know, those are few and far between.
Yeah. Well, and like they opened up the category, like Best Picture, several years ago to let other movies get an opportunity. Like, you know, Black Panther was nominated for Best Picture. There was no way it was going to win, which is a shame. Because if you polled people that actually went to go see movies, they probably would have said, yeah, that's a good movie.
See, I always thought they should have, like, a genre section and for, like, the awards. Like, you know what I mean? Like, best, you know, what was it? What was it, the best, like, you know, like, blockbuster, just, like, popular? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, I think those are either, like, the People's Choice Awards or the Saturn Awards or things like that.
But they do have the musical or comedy. Yeah. And the Martian won it.
Yeah.
The people were like, even I think Matt Damon got up there and he's like, no, or who was the director of it? Whoever that was. He got up there and I'm like, and he was like, oh, it's
to
best
be fair,
comedy.
I
like,
love that
jokes.
Movie.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not a comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the presence of a couple jokes does not make a movie a comedy.
They don't really put out comedies. What was the last comedy you saw in a theater?
in a theater.
Well, that's just
that's true. I mean, most comedies like go to Netflix or something.
Well, that's because it's so expensive to see. It's so expensive now. Yeah. So it's like, why would I see a comedy in a movie theater where it doesn't enhance the viewing pleasure? Like, because the only movies I see are like the comic book movies, like Star Wars, like those kind of movies. Yeah,
the tentpole movies are make up a majority of movies that go to the theaters, even if when they're worth theaters.
Right, but there's not even, I can't even think of a comedy that came out in the last like two years that I saw. I saw Good Boys when it was on HBO, because I know that was in theaters.
Yeah.
That was a kind of a throwback to...
I'm thinking of like Judd Apatow movies. Like,
yeah, when was the last time...
Was that Pete Davidson one? Was that in theaters?
But that wasn't a comedy, was it?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
The King of Staten Island.
Yeah,
King
that's not a comedy.
I don't think
that's
a comedy.
Like,
okay.
There's there's comedians in it, but I think it's a drama.
Okay.
So, but yeah. It would have to be something like... there's a lot of like girl comedies. What was the one with all the
Bridesmaids?
Yeah, there's more recent than that.
Yeah.
Like in that.
Well, yeah, the Ghostbusters
vein.
Remake and things. But even that was
years ago. That was
a few years
like
ago.
2017, right?
Colin, we started without you.
No. So Colin, there was a question from Zach. Can you register yourself as an Eisner voter?
Yeah, I saw that. I've never tried, so I think you can.
Yeah.
I think anybody can, really, or at least industry professionals or something. So, yeah. I haven't read like 90% of those books. I haven't heard of 90% of the stuff on that list. Yeah.
So that just goes back to our thought. It's not it's not for
it's
readers.
It's not a mainstream comic book award anymore.
No.
Yeah.
Now, I remember looking through the list just going.
I've never heard of any of these people.
But I feel like if you, whatever wins the Eisner, I think people are willing to check out.
Yeah.
But
yeah, just so much of it I've never heard of.
Because like I heard about Monstrous, like we read it for book club, but
yeah.
I learned that was a thing through the Eisner nominations. So that's it.
All right. Well, Spencer.
Spencer has a question?
No.
Oh, I'm sure he has questions.
What did you read, Spencer?
I read... I'll start with Nightwing.
I read that.
81.
That was great.
Yeah. So it pretty much picks up with the last issue left off with Nightwing fighting the Heartless one? Or Heartless.
Yeah, I think his name's Heartless.
Heartless. So Robin is trying to, because the little camp that the homeless kids like made up is on fire, so
Heartless everything's on fire and Heartless like lets the kids go,
yeah,
and then he starts to fight with Robin,
yeah, and then he starts to fight with Nightwing and then
Nightwing
and then Robin he takes the kids out to the pier, but there's bombs there, and they start to go off, and Nightwing is, like, calling on all open channels for, like, any boats or anybody that happened to be on the river to, you know, come to try to help, and it doesn't look like anybody's showing up, but then at the last second, like, multiple, like, ships and, like, smaller boats and stuff show up and, you know, help and get all the kids off,
They Dunkirk it.
Yeah. He got knocked out in the fight? Is that something?
So he gets punched.
Hit in the head with his own...
Yeah, and he's, Heartless, he realizes Heartless is a metahuman. Like, he's enhanced, but he's not trained.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, he's taking him on, and Heartless... uses the distraction of blowing up the bridges to kind of get away. So, but, you know, after the boats come, he just kind of, like, passes out.
Yeah. And then he wakes up in his apartment with Robin and Barbara there.
And Bat, or Bite. What's his Bite Wing? What are they? What's
yeah,
Bite
Wing.
Yeah, Bite Wing. Yeah. And then so you know they let him know that the kids get out, you know, got out safe and stuff like that, and then you know. Nightwing, he wants to get back out there, but he's not ready, and he eventually ends up sneaking out, and he's able to, I forget how he found the building that, like, that he breaks into, and there's a lady there waving like a bat, and since he's not
Well, it's the girlfriend of the mayor, right?
Something like that.
And we skipped over this, because that was the first part. The mayor, very first scenes are the mayor is meeting... she's been sworn in.
Yeah,
and she's meeting with all the gangsters.
No, it's Blockbuster.
And she's like,
and all
"Hey,
them,
I'm gonna
be
really good for you guys." And then he breaks in on her, and I'm pretty sure that's her girlfriend, right?
I would assume.
Am I making all this up?
Yeah.
Anyway, but so yeah, she's
the lady
with the sword who. I'm sure they'll give her a name at some
point. Oh, thank you. I totally forgot.
And she'll be, you know, sword line or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a big reveal.
Yeah, so he, like, when he breaks in, since he's not recovered enough, he ends up getting knocked out and he wakes up, he's tied up, and she takes off his mask and is like, "That Dick Grayson... Like, oh, you know me," and they get into it. He gets out of the, because he's tied up. He unties a knot, and she tells him that he's her sister. That, you know, that they're brother and sister. So,
because you think the big reveal is, oh, she knows who he is now.
Yeah.
She's taken his mask off, which is not that big of a disguise anyway. But then it knows.
And he's always getting unmasked and stuff like that. And
yeah, what was her name? Her father was her father was Grayson and. What's the mayor's name?
Zuko.
Yeah.
Zuko Grayson.
Yeah.
No, Tony Zuko was the guy that killed the Graysons, and that was supposed to be his daughter. John Grayson was Dick's father, and apparently her father as well.
But what I'm interested in is because in, like, I think it was Kyle Higgins, run of Nightwing when I was in Chicago, he ends up ends up dating Zuko's daughter. So I don't know. I have to go back and check.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that's right.
I don't know. I can't remember if they use the same names or like if this is like a different Zuko or whatever. But you know, different universe shift change things. You know, whatever.
Isn't it Danny Zuko in Greece?
Yeah.
Yeah, the John Travolta character.
Yeah. But another real good issue of Nightwing. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's been really good.
Flash. Wally still is jumping through different bodies of speedsters. But in this issue, we realize that it's just not different speedsters in time, but it's different speedsters in the Omniverse. So this one, he finds himself as the Reverse Flash, getting ready to try to join the leagues of the Legion of Doom. And because in this series they've been having the stuff that's take place in the present done by one artist, and whenever he switches to a different body, they get a different artist to do that. So the art for whenever he's in the as Reverse Flash in the Legion of Doom is like a very old kind of like Sunday cartoon kind of style, and it's pretty neat on how they make it look like an old Saturday morning cartoon. Whenever he takes over Reverse Flash's body, it's right after the Flash kills Superman. At least they think that he kills Superman. So everybody's like, oh yeah, he has to join now. He killed Superman. And Luthor's all jealous because, you know, somebody killed Superman other than him. Like I said, it's like a Sunday cartoon style, so they all got, like, he's wearing his old, like, green and purple, like, outfit, and is bald, and the cheetah just has, like, a cheetah outfit on, and stuff like that. And then, I forget how, but, you know, he's able to, when he, you know, gets out of that situation, because there's all these surges that are going through the Speed Force. So they do a couple page spread montage of, like, him just going to some of the different flashes and stuff like that. And he's just talking about, like, how, you know, how much sure he's not at, how much he's, like, he's not sure how many more of these, like, jumps that he can do. He's just getting tired out. He just doesn't want, you know, doesn't want to do it anymore. And then he jumps to the future, like 20 years in the future, and he's in his, he takes over his son Jay's body, where his daughter Iris is sitting across from him. He gets to end up actually meeting his older, you know, his daughter, like 20 years in the future, and they get to talk a little bit, because I guess when after all this is over and he gets back to his time, he's told them the story over and over and stuff, and, you know, to make sure you're here doing this, like, at this time, so whenever I take over his body, because they put, like a surge protector on his wrist or something, because they know that he's going to take over his body to help make it so he has a little bit more time with his daughter, that they can talk and stuff like that, and she finds out that she's married, and just, like, some cool stuff there. Really can't remember how it ended, though. That was one of my first books I read this week. Miles Morales, Spider-Man. So we find out that these clones of Miles are created by the guy who kidnapped him a few issues ago and tortured him a whole bunch and all that stuff. Whenever Miles last issue found the hideout and he saw all this, the stuff that they were working on, he thought that they were trying to make more clones. So he destroys everything, but it's actually that it was like their cure, the thing that was keeping them alive. Because whenever that guy made them, they weren't, like, you know, unstable and weren't, like, done correctly. So they needed this stuff. So since Miles destroyed their cure, they're gonna go and, like, kill the people that that he cares about, and then kill Miles before they die. So they go head off to the hospital, leaving him like in this web all webbed up to the wall and stuff like that. He's able to break free. He saves his mom, but it turns out only two out of the three clones went to the hospital. So after, you know, he takes care of them, he goes to rush home to where his dad and baby sister are. So it cuts to Miles coming in and, you know, acting all excited, you know, whenever, you know, this whole, I'm worried about what's going on. It turns out that they're fine. So he goes and takes the baby sister where his dad goes to pack, because he tells him everything that's going on. And when that happens, Spider-Man takes off his mask, and that's when we realize that it's one of the clones. So it kind of ended on that cliffhanger. And then the last one I'll talk about is Radiant Black.
I read that.
So the last issue, there was like an explosion. Is that what he got caught in an explosion? Is that what killed him?
He was in the basement of this building where there was an explosion. Yeah.
So the radiant thing is, whatever that ball of light or gravity leaves. Is it Ryan? Is that the character? What's the?
I can't remember their guys' names.
It's Nathan.
Is it Nathan?
It's Nathan, and his friend's name is Marshall.
Okay. So it leaves Nathan because he's about to die, and Marshall takes it over. But it turns out that...
It didn't save him.
Yeah.
Right? Because he was battling with the red thingy. The red...
Yeah.
Radiant red, I call it.
Yeah.
So he's battling with her. It, damaged him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's asking him, will you kill to stop whatever?
Yeah.
And when he says no, it's just like, later.
Yeah.
So, had that thing stayed with him, he probably wouldn't have.
So, yeah, it wouldn't.
Been fine.
Yeah,
but
he wasn't willing to do what it thought needed to be done, so it left him.
Yeah. So in this issue, we learn that the paramedics have come, and he coughs.
Yeah.
So he's not dead, but then they again, think he might be brain dead.
Yeah, they're not getting any brain activity or anything like that once they get him to the hospital. But now Marshall seems to be a lot better at operating the Radiant Black powers.
Yeah, the same thing happens to him, and he's like, "Will you do what's necessary?"
He's like, yeah.
He says, "I'll do anything, but I got to seek revenge on this on the person who did this to Nathan."
Yeah. And even the sentient thing, it says "I have a much better connection with you than I did with the previous thing."
So after he's done checking on him and Nathan's parents show up, that's when he goes to leave to try to find the Red Radiant, and they have this big fight, cool, awesome fight. And it seems like the more the more you push, or the more, I guess maybe the more acumen you get with it, you can do more and different things. Marsha ends up getting a cape. The Red Radiant gets this huge kind of, almost looks like mech-like kind of suit.
Well, we're leading up to Power Rangers. That's They're going to be full-on.
That's kind of basically Zords what it is, because at that point, how do they just pop out of a, how do they show up? I forget. Do they just fly in the other two? Radiants.
There's a portal.
Is there a portal? Yeah. I can't remember how they showed up.
But
so
we learned that the Red Radiant is a woman.
Yeah.
And she didn't mean to kill him. She just thought she was.
She also looked kind of younger too.
I
couldn't tell.
I don't know. I feel like everybody is in their 20s except for the yellow one who's clearly older.
So and then, was that how it ended with the reveal of them?
Well, the two come through the portal, and they're African American, an older guy.
Well, one's the purple one is, I think she's Asian.
Okay.
And then the yellow is, he's an older African American guy. And they're hey, you guys got to stop fooling around.
Yeah.
This thing's coming, and we're going to, we're going to be in for it, and then it shows up, and it's got
looks like a hybrid between red and black or something.
Yeah, I felt it was the White Radiant or something, and it's got ninja katana things, and so looks like we're probably going to get a battle for this last issue because this is probably the first trade wrapping up here.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Issue 6, so there's got to be some kind of resolution. They'll probably just get their butts kicked and leave it for the second arc. I still think there's probably one or two more Radiants to be discovered.
Yeah.
We haven't done the whole.
All the surprises are great, really. Yeah. Every issue.
Yeah, but it's kind of really he's making his own kind of Power Rangers.
Yeah,
it's
the Power Rangers.
Which he had a good Power Ranger run, so I'm okay with that. But I think anything else I read, I think you guys might have read, so I'll be done.
I'll go. Planet Size X-Men.
Read that.
Yep. I read that.
Plant size X-Men?
Planet size.
No, it was X-Men. Definitely Planet. There was a reason for the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
very confused. But
in the beginning of the issue, and this is, the way they did it was just kind of lame. So, at the beginning of the issue, the X-Men are terraforming Mars with their mutant abilities. So, Magneto's...
adding iron to the core.
Like, or he's shaping it or something. Yeah. Like,
would that really be necessary? Because it already
has
a metal core.
Well, it's Hope and Vulcan.
The only thing I can think is he maybe putting more gravity into it? Or
yeah,
like,
I think that was the...
Yeah, because you have Earth-like gravity.
Storm brought atmosphere and
the fish guy from
brought his, life. Yeah,
well,
he has an entire ocean ecosystem in his body.
Yeah, his blood is like an ocean or something.
Yeah,
that's his mutant ability.
Well, I was gonna say yeah, when it came to those mutants, they were their powers were very convenient.
Yeah. You're right.
But it makes sense that like all of those mutant abilities together could
terraform the planet.
Like it kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, Iceman makes ice caps or whatever.
Yeah.
Why you need those, I don't know, but
balance.
They still don't have I don't think they made a moon, so like probably not gonna have like tides and stuff like that.
Mars has two.
Mars has. Are they? Do they have
Phobos and Deimos?
Okay. Well.
Are they big enough?
Are they too big? Or because I feel like there's a whole bunch of like, you know, if you're trying to make it Earth-like.
Well, though they didn't. It doesn't have to necessarily be Earth-like because this is where all those other mutants from the other dimension.
That's why they were doing it because we thought it was gonna or like they make it seem like oh maybe the X-Men are moving to Mars, but that's not it. They're sending. The extra mutants, the Arako.
Yeah, because everybody's
there.
Because everybody was worried that they're because their island kind of basically doubled, not only in size but with mutants like overnight after the Ten of X stuff. Yeah, like, so people weren't happy about that. So, yeah.
And then the other.
I just hope they put them on Mars and they never bring them back up again.
Yeah, the other. I think that's what they're doing. The other thing is, it's confusing because in the issue before this, the X-Men issue, you see Captain America at the gala, and then in this issue, Cyclops talks to Captain America, and he's like, are you going to come to the gala? Well, I wasn't, and then all these mutants showed up, so now I am.
Well, so they do a lot of time jumping.
Cap asks him, I want to know if this is going to be permanent, and Cyclops doesn't really answer,
because
it's not going to be permanent.
But it's like I don't know. I'm not reading all of the tie-ins and stuff, and it's just like it would make it worse if I was. I'm sure of it, just because they're just jumping all back and forth. So, but I still don't know what the gala is or what the purpose of
it's
it.
A party.
It's to show that like, I think
so
it's
they
to
can
show
draw all these celebrities into it, just, like Kevin Feige and Patton Oswalt. Yeah.
It's to show off how they made a new planet.
So the question
new
is,
planet,
is the United States going to recognize the sovereignty of this mutant planet now?
Right. Yeah. Mutant warlike planet that now they can't keep an eye on.
Yep.
Yeah. What could go wrong?
I feel bad for the Mars rover.
Well, the whole thing was getting Arako and Krakoa back together because they've been separated and now
but
they're
I think they are now.
Well, no, but now they're separated again.
No,
only Arako went to Mars, not Krakoa.
Yeah, but the mutants. I think the island is still there. But
no,
the
they moved the island.
Yeah, the island.
Moved the island
there.
Too.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't understand. I thought that was the whole point of bringing them back together. Yeah. That's why Apocalypse sacrificed to restore that. So yeah, I don't.
And then they built another sword thing.
Yeah,
oh, sword too.
Out of
that was super weird.
Yeah,
like,
that was super weird.
Was that the King of Otherworld?
Yeah, that was
something?
Jamie Braddock or whatever his name is.
Birthday.
One of the Braddocks.
That was really strange.
That was very weird.
But yeah, I feel bad for the Mars rover. It just gets taken out in a flood.
Terraforming.
Heroes Reborn.
I read that. That's about the only thing I read. I read 6 and 7 because I was behind on 6.
Yeah.
Wow, what a finale. That was a great end. I thought that was fantastic. Really, I mean, wow. I mean, Mephisto showed up. You know, they mentioned him throughout, and he showed up on the second to last page. So, man, and they wrapped it up. It was pretty cool. I thought that was neat.
I'm trying to remember what happened. Because this one, it finally takes all the characters and kind of meshes them up, but it jumps back and forth in time.
Yeah.
So
the Squadron Supreme decides they're going to start searching for the Avengers. And
But just at the end.
But then it goes all, well, at the beginning, and then in the middle, it's all talking about, like, the what's it, Nighthawk? He's, like, in love with the Wonder Woman character, she's not into him.
And the three are discussing something, and Green Lantern and the Flash are not included in their talks.
They're discussing invading Wakanda.
Yeah.
And without the permission of President Coulson.
And then Coulson's
eavesdropping, and it seems like Dr. Spectrum or whatever he is, like, is it his portal that's letting Coulson listen in, and it's like,
we find out what caused all this. Coulson reveals the Pandemonium Cube,
which is the cosmic cube. But that's how it ended. Issue 7 of 7 ended on that. I'm like, well, that's a very interesting way to end a miniseries. So,
but this week's issue, which should have just been number 8. I don't know why they decided to.
Yeah.
Because the heroes are back. What it is they think they can sell this issue by itself.
It's a number one. Number ones always sell more.
Yeah. But,
not impressed.
It's
neat idea, but it didn't need to be a miniseries with 42 tie-in issues, because literally nothing happened through this entire thing. Mm-hmm. Blade going through gathering the heroes that you still really haven't seen.
But it would have worked so much better if they would leave it in Avengers and then just say, hey, these books are crossing over with Avengers.
Yeah.
And then it would
have some extras.
It would have made Avengers feel like a more important book.
Yeah.
But now everything just feels unimportant. Yeah. Mm. So, what else did I read? I read Compass.
Okay.
Really hard to follow.
Okay.
So, I don't think there was time travel. I think it was just I don't think there's any mysticism in it. But it opens on this girl who's like, it seems like she's doing like an Indiana Jones type of thing, but I get the sense that this is actually in the past. So she's like, raiding this ruins, searching for something. And then she gets in there. There's all these, like, this elaborate, like, her crawling all around and entering. And then she gets into this room, and someone's there who she clearly knows, but, it's another woman. She gets in there, and she's like, oh, you could have just climbed up the window. And, I don't think it, you know, we just went through page after page after page of her taking the long way, effectively. So that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because I was like, okay, there's no words in this book. Because at the very beginning, it's just her, you know. Like, I think it was meant to be like that, the first scene in Raiders, or like, you know, where it's him doing that type of thing.
Switching
the idol out and then being chased with a ball. Like, you don't need words, it's just action. But it wasn't, it didn't have those those moments. So anyway, she's there looking for like an artifact or something. I can't remember, it's been a week, I read this early on, but it seems like whoever this girl was has like turned traitor on her, and like instead of sharing the wealth there, she's double crossed her. So this girl flees to, I think it's England, maybe it's Denmark or something, but she gets there and they're calling her a Mohammedan,
instead of Muslim. So it's like it's clearly like a couple hundred years in the past, and they're like, you know, you can read, and like, you know, there's like the culture shock of, you know, the at this time the, you know, the educated Muslim world versus the, you know, coming out of the Dark Ages Europe. So that's just that seems like what this is what the story's actually going to be about is, you know, this Muslim girl in, you know, the ancient Europe. I guess not ancient, but like, you know, the Dark Ages or whatever. But yeah, that was pretty forgettable. I'm not gonna pick up the next one. I thought it was a Brubaker book, but it wasn't. I think it was just like he produced it or something like that. And then Berserker number 3. Did anybody else read that?
I read that.
Yeah. So this was. I felt like this didn't really move the plot along very much.
No, it's more
of him in the past.
Yeah, more of his backstory.
Like we see him with his father and his mother and his tribe, and they have a word for him, like Utan or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that, and it means both weapon and tool.
Yeah.
And they're using him, basically to conquer all the tribes. And
yeah.
It's the kind of thing where
and they keep
like,
on going to father and father tribes.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to be a tool for this. I want to stop being the, you know, the ultimate weapon. And his father's like, oh, one more tribe. And then eventually he's like, they're hundreds of miles away. And he's like, how are these people a threat to us whatsoever? And he's like, well, they're more powerful than us. So they're a threat. And he's like, we've got to kill them all. And then he goes, and this kind of makes no sense to me, but he's like, he goes in with his like small war band, like, you know, him and, you know, maybe four or five other guys.
Yeah.
Why you need the four or five other guys when this guy can get his head, you know, chopped in half and keep on ticking.
But at that time, I don't think they know that he could do, like, did he ever get that?
Well, he's conquered.
Yeah, but I mean, like, all they see him, but they see him, like, taking, like, arrows out of his back and stuff like that. I don't think they've seen him, like.
That's what they're there for, to.
Yeah, but I don't think,
you
like,
go and kill everybody, we'll have four guys we need to pull the arrows out.
Like, in the present, like, he's literally getting blown up, but, like, back then, I don't
but
think they knew
the.
But
even in the back then, he kills the leader, and then they're like, oh, yeah, great, we did it. And then he's like, no, my father told me to kill everybody.
Yeah.
And he kills all of the, like, women and children and everybody, and the bodies are all piled up. And then you see his face, and it's like, it's half gone.
Mm.
So he's, you know, clearly, he's messed up.
Yeah.
But
he's still only, like, 2 years old.
Yeah. So.
Like, technically speaking, like, in his actual time, because he has, like he grows, like, he grew quick, so.
This strikes me like it's very much Bloodshot.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, super weapon, heals himself, or Wolverine or whatever. But, you know, just in a historical setting. But, like, there's no plot. It's all origin to this point. Like,
yeah.
Like, what's the main story about? I have
well,
no
it's like
idea.
A, I think it's like the 12 issues, so.
Okay, is it 12 or is it 6?
It's 12. Because I remember seeing in the thing, like, well, I think even it says, like, I think this was, like, 3 out of 12, like, you know.
They're
so.
taking their sweet time.
Like, yeah.
It's well done, it's just slow. Yeah, so. That's it for me.
I do like at the end where they take them out to, like, to for some kind of, you know, the army takes them out to, you know, to take something out, and, like, they come back. And then, you know, they took everybody out, and, like, we had 3 casualties, and he's like, yeah, sorry about that. They got too close.
Yeah.
Like, he accidentally killed, like, his own people.
Yeah.
7 Secrets.
Yeah, I read that.
So this was, it feels like it's the end of the next trade. So the group is all together. They're supposed to be recuperating, and they decide that they need a new number one keeper. And there's a deaf girl, or I'm sorry, she's not she must be deaf, but she's mute. Yeah. She can only speak in sign language. So she volunteers because if she gets captured, she can't talk. And they were like, no, we need to put this to a vote. So Ava ends up being the one.
She's the his mom.
Yeah, who gets picked. Then it kind of cuts over to the Seekers, who are the ones trying to get the secrets. And they're having basically a secret meet, or you know, they're having a meeting at their high council. And the guy that came up with the whole plan basically kicks everybody's ass, goes in there, is like, I'm in charge now. Whoever was responsible for this, they need to be dead in the next hour.
Yeah.
And everybody that died, with the exception of the two people he is really holding responsible, pay their families everything they would have gotten for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Which is kind of an odd way to make that your evil organization.
Yeah. Well, also, too, it's like, because, you know, they even get to, like, you know, everybody that died in the explosion, but it's like, a lot of those people, they're probably their families probably died in that explosion, too. It's like, so who's really getting, like, you know, again, that money. It's like, yeah, one of those, like, it sounds good, but if you kind of think about it, like, they're probably not
out. They may not be out as much as you think.
Yeah.
So we cut back over to the Secret Keepers, and Ava is either shown or in some cases told one by one what the remaining secrets are.
Which they do a good job of making you be like, I wonder what it is. Like, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, because there was one where she's like, oh,
she's like,
really? and then we get to the final one, and dude takes off his mask, and it's Sigurd.
Yep.
Is alive.
But he's gray-haired now.
Yeah, he's older.
Which makes me seem to think that one of the secrets is some kind of, like, resurrection type of thing. Because I think he legitimately died.
Either that or time travel or something. Like, they're... where a younger version of him came back. Yeah. And, yeah.
Maybe
something
parallel, like, universe. Man.
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways they could do it.
I wonder if at any point in time if we'll get to know all the secrets, or if they just kind of...
Well,
we don't really know the ones that they opened.
Yeah, the ones they opened. Like, how do you describe, like, what they,
it
were?
It basically, it's like whatever it was that destroyed Alanis. You still don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Just know that.
Yeah, it destroyed, was it Switzerland or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah.
Previous issue to
in
this.
The previous issue.
That it was when it destroyed Switzerland. Yeah.
But it destroys it, like,
in a
perfectly,
yeah,
like.
Yeah. It's like a country.
Yeah.
Annihilator,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, it's just like, whoop. So.
No, but it was a good issue.
And now, is the Fairyland world, is that a secret, or was that not a secret?
I think that was a secret. Yeah. I think that was the second case that got opened.
So that's, now we know two of the five secrets.
Two of the seven. So there's five left.
Seven
laugh.
Secrets, yeah.
Yeah.
Two,
come on.
We know two.
Come on,
five,
Brian,
remaining.
Name the book.
Yeah.
And the other one I read was Alien.
I read that.
So, it's okay.
I feel like not a lot happened. They found the sun, and he's got a face sucker.
Yeah, but two-thirds of the way through the book, nothing happened. Yeah. And all of a sudden, the last eight pages, everything happened.
I remember.
They're running from the aliens because that was their chosen method. They have to bring at least one facehugger back. So they choose to bring back
the one that stuck to his son.
Right. Yeah. And he's trying to kill them, and the robot's like, nope, that ain't happening.
Yeah.
You can't get, or no, what did he say? My programming won't allow me to harm humans, or by omission to allow humans to be harmed. So he basically, that's how he stops them. So,
and then the gal makes him promise not to kill his son, because he's like,
he never actually says that, though. He just says go, because the alpha alien is breaking through.
Yeah, so he sends them, they're going one way to the ship, like the faster way, And then he's going to take the facehugger, or his son and the facehugger, because
they're going
they'll,
after
they'll follow the him because he has him. Yeah, and the that
well
it's
we also
not a queen
no
it's got like this weird like head. Bullhorn kind of thing, which
but the other thing that was interesting was they said the reason why the alien won't go after Ash is because it won't go after an android because there's no organic material for it to attach to reproduce,
yeah.
And will only bother it if it deems him a threat.
Yeah.
So they could have sent him to go start the ship or send a whole team of him, you know, theoretically, but because
well,
there's a bunch of them.
If you remember in the first issues, when they're like, hey, you got to go, or maybe it's the second issue, when they're like, hey, you've got to go back up, he requests an all android team, and they're like, nah, it's too expensive.
Yeah.
And so they give him two humans because they're cheap. Yeah.
So, so we finally see the alpha alien, and he's confirmed that something was. He had one in his chest, so I don't know if that might have been the one he had. Like,
yeah,
it made it sound like that came from him. He felt like this whole thing was his fault.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, one of my thoughts was like, oh, he's like probably not human anymore. Like, did they? Because if you have a chest buster. Like,
right.
You're probably not living through that, even if they could somehow take it out. And if they did, they'd have to, like, replace, like, your heart and all kinds of stuff.
Well,
like,
if it bursts, obviously it kills them. But if they put them in cryo sleep and it's frozen, maybe it doesn't grow to the point where it'll kill them or, you know, I don't exactly know the gestation period of a xenomorph.
I don't know.
Sorry.
My mind's going to, like, because, like, this, the alien world is supposedly, like, has overlap with, like, the Blade Runner world.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm wondering, like,
is he a replicant?
Is he a replicant? Doesn't know he's a replicant? Are they going to, like, try to tie these two things together a little bit?
Does
better?
He have orange eyes?
Yeah. So, that's where my head went when they were talking about that. Because it just seems weird that he would live through something like that when. That hasn't been established in any other alien fiction that I'm aware of.
That's what I read. Dave?
Fantastic Four.
I read that, Dave.
Number 33. This is the wedding of Dr. Doom and Victorious. And everything goes great. They live happily ever after.
End of book.
End of book. No, that's not what happened. So they, Reed's the best man, so they still have a discussion about whether they should go. And Reed says, Dr. Doom, all the guests who come, he's going to forgive them all for past transgressions. So the Fantastic Four decide to go. They leave all the kids at home with Alicia. And they go to Latveria. And, you know, Johnny had the affair with Victoria, so he kind of seeks her out to try to clear the air to hope this doesn't come up again. And so it's the day of the wedding, and some of the other honored guests, Black Panther's there, and Namor shows up. So then we get to the moment of truth, the vows. And Victoria, you know, Dr. Doom says, I do. And then Victorious lets the cat out of the bag that she was intimate with Johnny Storm.
Though bad on his part, but not really bad on her part, because it was even before that he even, like, proposed to her. And it wasn't like they were really a couple, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh,
previously,
yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Still bad for him because he had a soulmate, but, like, on her part, like, you know, she's technically single. You know, Doom don't see it that way, but...
Well, the funny is, then the next page is everyone's reaction. You get these facial reactions from everybody. And Reed reaches his, stretches his arm across the page to knock Johnny on the back of the head. And the funniest one is Namor. He just lets out a big laugh, which made me laugh out loud. a real belly laugh. You could see it. He was so happy. And then Doom, so on the last page, Doom, he calls for everyone to be executed, all his guests to be executed for bringing dishonor upon his house.
Yeah, how can you go to Dr. Doom's wedding and not go, y'all ever hear of the Red Wedding? Because I'm pretty sure this is about to happen.
Was that everything in that issue, Spencer?
Pretty much. I mean, they do, they do some stuff. Like, there's, a dinner with Doom and what's-her-face beforehand, where I think she tries to tell him, but she, because she's like, oh, I have a secret that I have to tell you, and Doom just thinks it's about how she actually was born in the neighboring country and stuff like that.
So she's not a true Latverian, but it was the country was annexed by Doom.
Yeah, so, and I mean, there was just, I think, some other, smaller things. Yeah. It was a lot of different kind of, Fantastic Four universe characters just kind of, meeting at this wedding, kind of. At an actual wedding, you get, weird, pairings and groups of people.
Yeah.
But it was an alright issue.
It was fine. It was good. Time Before Time, number 2. Anybody reading that? No.
Oh, I read that. Yeah.
Time Before Time. Let's see. The guy Tatsuo and the FBI agent. They escaped in a time pod and they hurtled through time. They don't know where they ended up.
Mm-hmm. And their time machine's all smashed.
In the time pod, destroyed. And they land. It's kind of a forest, and they find two guys, and they figure out they are members of the Union, who was the rival of the Syndicate in the latter half of the 21st century. And then they find out from them, they land in the year 2093. And that the agent, she slaps the handcuffs on Tatsuo.
Yeah, so they're handcuffed together now. And
they,
this is really necessary.
They take, yeah. Well, the two guys from the Union, they take them to the head of the Union, and they broker a deal. And then Tatsuo says he'll give them all the information from 8 years of the Syndicate in exchange for a time pod. I think that's what it was. I thought it was good. I thought it was real good, and I like how the first few pages of every issue, they seem to be doing a little vignette about time travel. And the guy, there's a little two-page story about this guy who he hires a syndicate to get hair growth pills or something from the future.
Yeah. And then they were talking about how, you need these pills from the future that won't even be invented for another 20 years. And when they do, they're only going to be available to billionaires. And you're not a billionaire.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
let's see what I'll, quick update on War of the Bounty Hunters, Star Wars number 14. Crimson Dawn has a body of Han Solo, the Carbonite, and Leia finds out they are going to auction him off to the highest bidder. So, and all the criminal organizations are going to come to this planet. I'm not sure what the planet is. I don't think they say. And Leia wants to go there and pose as some royal from a backwater planet to try to get Han back. And there's a subplot with this Imperial droid that they stole from this museum that the rebels want to use to create messages to send to the fleet scattered after Empire Strikes Back, and they want to create messages that the Empire can't decode. And this droid also has given Lobot the ability to speak back in Jabba the Hutt's after the droid too. And I know we talked about this before, but I read that Nice House on the Lake, number one.
Yeah,
it was excellent.
Yeah, I got the description, I thought it was going to be an Agatha Christie, you know, something happens, invites these people out, and suddenly one dies or disappears, things like that. I did not expect that at all.
Yeah, see, I wasn't, like, I had it spoiled for me twice, so, like, it wasn't a surprise to me at all. So, like, I kind of, what struck me was, like, there's a lot of people here, like, a lot of people to track.
Yeah.
But I'll probably grab the next issue just to see, you know, learn more about the Walter character.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Who
invited them there. You know, is he an alien or something like that? What is it? But
he's something. Yeah.
Yeah, he's something. But the other thing was the art surprised me.
Yeah.
Like from the description of it, I expected it to be more like just, you know, traditional art. This is a lot more stylized than I like. This could have, the art on this would fit in like Department of Truth or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it reminded me of like Alex Maleev or something like that. But yeah, I want to know what happens next.
It's effectively like a, you know, a dinner party or like a, you know, a weekend.
Yeah,
trip,
I
want something
to know about Walter and and what's the deal with this house and the lake.
Is this a miniseries? Is it 6 issues?
I think it's 12 issues. I thought I read it's 12 issues.
12.
Yeah.
Maybe he just,
lots of time.
Maybe he just dosed them all or something. It's a hallucination.
That's all I got.
Okay. I only read a couple. I was packing. So, previous orders are due Thursday, so I'll be doing that all tonight. So please, if there's anything you want, get your orders in on the hub or email me. Don't wait till the last minute. Last week somebody emailed me on Monday for FOC at 11:55. I'm like, I'm not constantly refreshing. It's not how it works. So, so we got Justice League month for a little bit longer, another week, and then we'll come up with something new. So, as always, website's pittsburghcomics.com, Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. Dave, send us home.
That's the podcast.
We will talk at you later. See ya.